Blomqvist woke up at 10:30 on Tuesday, showered, put on coffee, and then sat down with his iBook. After the meeting at Milton Security the previous evening, he had come home and worked until 5 a.m. The story was finally beginning to take shape. Zalichenko's biography was still vague. All he had was what he had blackmailed Bjork to reveal, as well as the handful of details Palmgren had been able to provide. Salander's story was pretty much done. He explained step by step how she had been targeted by a gang of Cold War mongers at SIS and locked away in a psychiatric hospital to stop her from blowing the whistle on Zalichenko. He was pleased with what he had written. There were still some holes that he would have to fill, but he knew that he had one hell of a story. It would be a news sensation, and there would be volcanic eruptions high up in the government bureaucracy. He smoked a cigarette while he thought. He could see two particular gaps that needed attention. One was manageable. He had to deal with Teleborian, and he was looking forward to that assignment. When he was finished with him, the renowned children's psychiatrist would be one of the most detested men in Sweden. That was one thing. The second thing was more complicated. The men who conspired against Salander, he thought of them as the Zalichenko Club, were inside the security police. He knew one, Gunnar Bjork, but Bjork could not possibly be the only man responsible. There had to be a group, a division or unit of some sort. There must be chiefs, operations managers. There had to be a budget. But he had no idea how to go about identifying these people, where even to start. He had only the vaguest notion of how SEPO was organized. On Monday he had begun his research by sending Cortez to the second-hand bookshops on Södermalm to buy every book which in any way dealt with the security police. Cortez had come to his apartment in the afternoon with 6 books: Espionage in Sweden by Mikael Rosqvist, Tempus 1988, SEPO Chief, 1962-1970 by P. G. Winger, Wallström and Widstrand, 1988, Secret Forces by Jan Ottersson and Lars Magnusson, Tiden, 1991, Power Struggle for SEPO by Erik Magnusson, Corona, 1989, An Assignment by Carl Lidbom, Wallström and Widstrand, 1990, and, somewhat surprisingly, An Agent in Place by Thomas Whiteside, Viking, 1966, which dealt with the Wenestrom affair. The Wenestrom affair of the 60s, not Blomqvist's own much more recent Wenestrom affair. He had spent much of Monday night and the early hours of Tuesday morning reading, or at least skimming, the books. When he had finished, he made some observations. First, most of the books published about the security police were from the late 80s. An internet search showed that there was hardly any current literature on the subject. Second, there did not seem to be any intelligible basic overview of the activities of the Swedish secret police over the years. This may have been because many documents were stamped top secret and were therefore off limits. But there did not seem to be any single institution, researcher, or media that had carried out a critical examination of SEPO. He also noticed another odd thing. There was no bibliography in any of the books Cortez had found. On the other hand, the footnotes often referred to articles in the evening newspapers or to interviews with some old, retired SEPO hand. The book Secret Forces was fascinating, but largely dealt with the time before and during the Second World War. Blomqvist regarded P. G. Winger's memoir as propaganda, written in self-defense by a severely criticized SEPO chief who was eventually fired. An Agent in Place contained so much inaccurate information about Sweden in the first chapter that he threw the book into the wastepaper basket. The only two books with any real ambition to portray the work of the security police were Power Struggle for SEPO and Espionage in Sweden. They contained data, names, and organizational charts. He found Magnusson's book to be especially worthwhile reading. Even though it did not offer any answers to his immediate questions, it provided a good account of SEPO as a structure, as well as of its primary concerns over several decades. The biggest surprise was Lidbom's An Assignment, which described the problems encountered by the former Swedish ambassador to France when he was commissioned to examine SEPO in the wake of the Palme assassination and the Ebbe Carlsson affair. Blomqvist had never before read anything by Lidbom, and he was taken aback by the sarcastic tone, combined with razor-sharp observations. But even Lidbom's book brought Blomqvist no closer to an answer to his questions, even if he was beginning to get an idea of what he was up against. He opened his mobile and called Cortez. "Hi, Henry. Thanks for the legwork yesterday. What do you need now?
A little more legwork.
Mika, I hate to say this, but I have a job to do. I'm managing editor now.
An excellent career advancement.
What is it that you want?
Over the years there have been a number of public reports on SEPO. Carl Lidbom did one. There must be several others like it.
I see.
Order everything you can find from Parliament. Budgets, public reports, interpolations and the like. And get SEPO's annual reports as far back as you can find them.
Yes, master.
Good man.
And Henry?
Yes?
I don't need them until tomorrow.